Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews.
Let us be attentive. Wisdom, arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel.
Peace be with all.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Let us be attentive.
At that time, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered right, do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to the Lord, to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a beautiful week it has been. The synaxis of the holy angels on Tuesday, the feast of Saint Nectarios, the beloved of Agina on Wednesday, the wonderful IOCC event where we heard about what was going on in Jordan, the beautiful Glendy yesterday where we were able to come together in a way that we haven't for a while because of COVID and the isolations. It was so nice to see everybody talking and dancing. And today we celebrate St. John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth. Tomorrow, St. Gregory Palamas, and then Tuesday, the Advent, the Nativity Fast begins. So it's a full and rich time for all of us, with much more to come. The passage that we heard today, the Good Samaritan, probably one of the most beloved, one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, even to people who aren't a Christian. We have organizations that call them, for example, the Samaritan Purse. We see when somebody does a good deed, we call them a Good Samaritan. It's something that seems to resonate with our humanity. And there are so many different layers to it, so many different ways in which we can look at it, in which the saints have looked at it, from just our own daily lives to looking at it from a spiritual way in which Christ came to save us. And as I reflected upon it and wondered which direction to go, I was asked to speak on generosity, as this is also the kickoff of our stewardship. Last week, Father Jason spoke about engagement. I will offer some words on generosity, and Father Tim will speak next week on ownership, the three principal things that we're talking about for our stewardship campaign and also for the metropolis. And as I thought about generosity and tried to put my hands around it and tried to understand it, I realized that it's not really a very clear concept. How do we define being generous? Why are we generous? What does it mean to be generous? And as I thought about these things, I thought about my life, and I thought, as in many ways, all of us are touched by people from all of our early years on who've influenced us as to how they have carried their lives, how they have repented, how they have looked at the church, how they have worshiped in the church, and how they have given, built the church, sustained the church, expanded the church. There were three main things that came to mind when I reflected on all of those people. Three common traits. The first one is that they had a deep, deep love for Jesus Christ. They had a sense of what humanity is, and more importantly, what humanity was. The way in which God created us from the beginning. The beauty of his entire creation. But beyond that, the gem of his creation was the human being. And when all was done, all was very good. Until we decided to do things our own way and sin. And then we separated ourselves from God, and then we now have the fallen world in which we live. The people that I know who were generous understood that. They understood what man was meant to be, and now what man is, but they understood the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And in not so many weeks, we will celebrate his incarnation, his birth. And it's an event that I think sometimes gets lost in all of the hubbub and scurrying around that happens. We look at the fast and how many of us keep the fast? How many of us take a set aside time to deepen our prayer? How many of us do more almsgiving? All of those three things that we do during Great Lent and are supposed to do during the other fast. But do we really do them? The people that I know who are very generous do them, and they make a point to do them. And when I'm speaking about them, some of them are in the heavenly kingdom and some of them still walk this earth. So whether I fluctuate between present tense and past tense probably is more a reflection of who I'm thinking of at that time. But they walked in Christ. They walked, they kept the fast. They had an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, which meant that when they prayed, they prayed. They didn't just say their prayers. And I challenge all of us that when we say our prayers, do we just go through them as quickly as we can so that we can get on and move to the next thing that is on our mind? Do we pray distracted? I do. Do we take the words in and reflect on the words? Sometimes, sometimes not. For example, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. We're going to say the Creed. Do we say it and just rush through it because we know it so well? Or do we think about what those words are? And do we think about who we're addressing those words to? I know I fall short many times when I say those prayers. The other thing that those people have is a deep love for their church. They realize that the gift that God has given them of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, is not something that you gain in isolation. It's something that you gain in communion, in interacting with others, because it's in interacting with others that we really start to see our brokenness. We start to see our passions. We start to enter into those hidden areas that we try to keep walled off. And when we see those hidden areas, we don't feel too good about ourselves. But we only see those things when we interact with others. Those people, they bring that to life. But we also realize that when you look at others, that there isn't any difference between us as far as our humanity goes. We are all broken creatures. And as was said at the IOCC event, scorn not the beggar, because before God, all of us are beggars. And it's with that notion, with that thought, that generosity starts to occur. Because we look at someone else, someone who's less fortunate, whatever the circumstance, financial, health, of their own doing, as so many things are of our own doing. But we look upon them with mercy. We look upon them with compassion. Because we realize that we could very easily be in that same circumstance. All of the passions that people are dealing with, I'll continue to deal with all of them. Maybe not in the same way, but in similar manner, I'm dealing with all of those as we all are. And it's coming to that realization that we then fall down on our knees and ask for God's mercy. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. He had the eyes to see the situation. The priest and the Levite did too. But there was something inside the Good Samaritan. His heart was softened to realize that there was a brother in need and he needed to do something. It didn't matter how busy he was. It didn't matter what he was thinking at that time. It didn't matter about his safety. He saw someone in need and he acted. The church is central to our lives. The church is the hospital. It's where we sinners come. We must be in the church. We must participate in the church. We must be partaking of the sacraments, confession, unction, Holy Communion. It's where we come to be healed. And when I think about the church, I don't know where my life would be without it. But I also think about the church, and I think about supporting the church and supporting the ministries of the church. And we don't like to get into talks about almsgiving, about money. But I know of many churches who have gone through the motions, like the priests and the Levites, and not really being attentive to the world outside of their own community. And what happens? The church shrinks, and eventually the church dies. This church is a wonderful community. It's touched and continues to touch many, many people. But when you look at this community, there is so much potential. There are so many, many opportunities. I think of the young people. There are so many young people today who don't have any kind of faith. When they are surveyed, they say they're really nothing. What a tremendous opportunity we have as the church to welcome these people in. Irregardless of where they are in life, irregardless of their race, irregardless of their social status, irregardless of their education. There are other opportunities. Our elderly, why would we not have elder care for our elderly? Assisted living, having resources, if they want to stay in their homes, having nursing, having other ways in which we can help our elderly. We look everywhere else, but what about the Orthodox Church? We talk about schooling our kids. We look at all of these schools and what traditions and how we want to have them educated. What about Orthodox schools, Orthodox universities? We say we don't have the resources. I beg to differ. We have the resources, and the more that we soften our hearts, the more that we open up our hearts, the more that we give in our time, in our talent, and especially in our treasures, the more God is going to give us in return. I know a dear man, and he was probably one of the most giving people I have known. He was very well off. He had a good family, and his love for the church extended deeper than you can imagine. And I sat down with him one day, and I said, "You do all of these things. Why do you do all of these things? You know, you go above and beyond." And he said, "God has blessed me so richly with all of these blessings, but most importantly with the gift of eternal salvation. How can I not give back to him as much as I possibly can? And every time that I do give back to God, he gives me more in return." As we enter the Advent fast, let us set aside time. Let us take on the fast. Let us pray more. Let us enter in and let God enter into our hearts. Let him soften our hearts. And let us look at our church. Let us support our church. Let us grow our church. Let us expand it beyond what we humanly think is possible, because God can do whatever we ask from him. We just need a vision. It's not a matter of just supporting a budget. It's going far beyond that. And then we'll see God's love and mercy for us. Amen.